ogeni le ku boti enwere meni gene bo famile ulondia nya maria papatu marana gabu okio mere enjine Gugi kamnonye Elela nya buluguru nojo Mina mwe butine kegio Nunga bagume Nunge yelegaka Nunge yelegaka Nunge diaka ni kezo mume Kwa bidegi
Hallelujah! Christ is Windows of heaven now open. Joy, joy around me. For Jesus meant everything right. Hallelujah.
The windows of heaven now open.
My blessings are falling.
You put it
on the door. Oh, Lord.
Put your hands together. Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Just for a moment. Hallelujah. Are we ready to pray this night? I have advised us before that when you come to church like this, just make sure you just concentrate between you and your God. There are some people that if you turn and look at them, all the anointing in you will dry. Go wonder what thing carry them come. Sing, they don't go sing. Clap hard, they don't go clap hard. Whether now God and they fight with, or now who then they fight? I don't know. They all stand, boom, they look. Whether now God and they fight with, or now who then they fight? I don't know. They all stand, boom, they look. When you look at them like this, all your anointing will just dry. No wonder when Christians they pray and they close eyes so that you don't be distracted. The reason is because the reason why you are serving God may not be the same reason somebody else is here. You see? While you may be rejoicing because you have a testimony, some other person is grumbling. So the two of you cannot flow together. Eh? Like Brother Sopru now, the neighbor there wouldn't know why they dance like this. Before he got married, he wasn't dancing like that. Since that brother got married, his dance steps changed. Somebody here, your testimony will change your dance steps. Eh? Is it possible? There are some people that your testimony becomes the music for your dance. They will see you, they dance, but nobody they hear the music. Now only you know the thing where they make you dance. Somebody after today, your testimony will be your music. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit on the ministry of the seventh angel. Amen. Now listen. Today we are in another day now, 28th February. It's an anniversary of that cloud that appeared above the Arizona desert in America. Praise God. And something was happening in the whole world, but very few people caught it. But I'm so glad that God gave me the opportunity. Now, before then, let's read the genesis of that cloud. It's in Revelation chapter 5. Let's read it. And all our online members, we welcome everybody again tonight. Verse 1, Revelation chapter 5, and I'll read it up to verse 14. John is narrating. John in the Isle of Patmos saw God reveal so many things for him among the things that he saw. And let me quickly add that anytime you hear us open the book of Revelation, open your ears. Because you don't hear preachers opening the book of Revelation anywhere. Among all the churches, the only ones that I am aware of that make attempt to go, they are the Seventh-day Adventists. But even them, hallelujah, they mumble and jumble the revelation there. Why? Because the light that God gave us to go through this revelatory knowledge, they have turned it down. They refuse to see it. And you turn down that light, you continue to grow up in darkness. And so, when I say open the book of Revelation, it means I want to tell you something that is only for the bride. How many of them are here today? The bride of Jesus Christ. The bride. Oh, are you not proud? Can you stand on the bride of Jesus Christ? Anybody sitting down is a concubine. All of you, bride. Some people just stand up because they say everybody they stand up. Okay, sit down. If you stand up because you say you are bride, I have said this and I will continue to say it. What distinguishes us from other Christians in this age? What distinguishes us, stands us out, is revelation. There are things God has caused us to know that they don't know out there. Amen. One of it is what, you know, we just want to emphasize again. We'll be talking about it every time, but let's just say it very briefly. So when we say open the book of Revelation, then please pay attention. Because there's something that you are going to hear that you have never heard, somebody. And you will not see it in any bookshop. And there is nowhere for you to go and ask to confirm what we have spoken here. So there is no archbishop that you can go to. Because when you go and ask him anything from the book of Revelation, the answer he will give you is to make you close the book and concentrate on John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's all. And the next one is Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, and they all speak in tongue. And they begin to teach you how to speak in tongue. All they know is the area of the anointing and impartation. Praise the Lord. Anointing will be going on here on earth. The anointer has gone. We want to follow the anointer. When he moves, we move. So, Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with how many seals? Are we reading together? How many seals? Seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Who is worthy? Verse 3. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon in that book. No man was worthy. No man was worthy. And just before we came, I came inside now. Our brother Jerry Harrison was asking me in the office. He said, when he read that portion, no man was worthy. He said, not even Angel Gabriel, not even Angel Michael. God is always sending them now. I was wondering why. And I told him the reason. The reason, let's see the next verse. Praise God. He said, and I wept much, verse 4, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals, the seven seals thereof. Who was worthy? the lion of the tribe of Judah. What is his name? What is his name? Now take note, because I'm emphasizing this for a reason. No man in heaven on earth was worthy to open a book that was sealed. It was sealed within and without, from inside and outside. Sealed there, and the proclamation went forth. Who is worthy? Who can open this seal? Who can break it down and open for us to see what is written in that book? Now, the emphasis is the book. Now, John wept. Why was he crying? He was crying for a reason. There must be something about that book that pertains to salvation. There is something about it. And there is somebody that was qualified. The lion of the tribe of Judah was the one that qualified. Why was he the one that qualified? He said he has prevailed. Hallelujah. Why? Because Angel Gabriel was not capable of paying the price for redemption. Angel Michael was not capable of paying the price of redemption. All of you that pray to Angel Michael, can you see you are wasting that prayer? It has no effect. Angel Michael has nothing to do with us as far as salvation is concerned. Michael was there, but he was not given a name that is above every other name. Gabriel is there, but he was not given a name that is above every other name, because he did not qualify. Praise the Lord. He is the only one that offered himself. That is the only man that offered himself. Hallelujah. Offered himself a sacrifice to pay the price of redemption. He was the only one qualified. He prevailed. Praise the Lord. He was an overcomer. He's the one that went through the process. And you need to see, imagine what he went through to qualify for that. Unless you meditate on this, you just be a religious Christian, not a revelated Christian. And it reflects on who you are, on how you relate with God. That's why he said, upon the rock of revelation of who I am, who Jesus is, he said, you will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You need to know who he is. And knowing who he is goes beyond knowing the power in his name. Casting out spirit in his name. Doing miracles, signs and wonders in his name. Praying to the Father in his name. You have to know why he is given that name. Hallelujah. It will help you. When you see Christians who say they are Christians, and then one leg, they one babala somewhere, another leg, they somewhere, they don't know who Jesus is. Don't know who Jesus is. When you see people who say, I belong to Jesus, I'm born again, I am this, I'm that, make all the claim, and they are afraid of witches and wizards, they don't know who Jesus is. A Christian is afraid of demons. A Christian is afraid of ritual people, all these occultic people around. Until you pack into a house, instead of you to kill them, they will kill you. Kill your business, kill your finance, kill. Can't you see some landlords wake up and give somebody a quick notice, say, leave my house? Hey, Christian, what did happen? You know what did jam in the spirit? You, your own prophecy, they say, make you park a moto. You came in there with three cars, now. Even Okada, no day there again. Yes. Food to eat, sir. You don't have food to eat. So you have to park out. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see, it's because you don't know who Jesus is. And knowing who he is, amen. It's, I say it again, not just some baby, Father Christmas, baby, somewhere in a manger. It's more than that. Ah, I wish God can give me the ability to tell the people who he is. To make them understand what he has caused me to understand. There are some of us that are Christians, no rest. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But so many of us, now after we become Christians, now in problems. No peace. Because before you have every breakthrough, you go to a mountain to fast and pray. If you manage to sleep without praying, that night you are in trouble. What kind of life is that? What kind of life? Why? Because you have no anchor. There's no relationship with God. And you can never have an anchor until you know who he is. Who he is. When I sleep and I wake up, even if I did a vigil last night in my house room before I sleep, and when I wake up nothing happened to me, it will not be because I prayed. That is not the reason. Whether I pray before I sleep or not, I will wake up healthy. So I did not pray so that I will sleep well. No! Why? Hallelujah. But I know whom I believe in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know who I serve. He is my father. I have a son and I know how I watch over him. Praise God. That is how my father watches over me. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Are you there? If you are there, then why are you afraid? A Christian does not do vigil every night so that he will be able to sleep. If you are doing vigil, hallelujah, you are only building your spiritual life the more. That's why you just want to charge yourself the more. There's some little battle somewhere. You want to let them know that, look, I am untouchable. You just want to present some matter before God. Hallelujah. But not the type of prayer that if I don't pray, I can't sleep. There are some people cannot sleep unless they take some medicine, some drugs. The same thing. No, I'm saying this. It's important you know the God you are serving. It's important you know who Jesus is. No man in heaven or on earth was worthy to look into that book, just to even look. None was worthy to open those seals and open that book to see what is inside. While John was crying, there was somebody. One of those elders tapped him and said, "Weep not, John. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed." Hallelujah. He has overcome to open the book and to loose his seven seals thereof. So when we come to the opening of the seals, who was the person opening the seals? Who was opening the seals? So why I emphasize this is it was not William Branham that opened the seals. It's not William Branham that opened the seals. But praise the Lord. And I will let you understand. Let's read on first. Verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having how many horns? Seven horns. And seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And a man of God, Chris Oyakhilome, oh, I don't call name again. He even wrote a book on the seven spirits of God. His explanation is wrong. Amen. God does not have seven spirits, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spirits. God himself is a spirit. Praise the Lord. And he is not seven. Neither is he three. The book of Revelation is a book of symbols. And so you must understand the meaning of everything that is spoken there, so that you don't apply it literally or intellectually or theologically like that. Seven horns there and seven spirits there. Horn is talking about a power. Seven spirits there is talking about the power of God. The move of the Spirit of God in seven different dispensations. The seven moves of God for the purpose of redemption. Every age, he came there by his Spirit and manifested. He was going to manifest himself seven times, and that will be through the seven church ages. Okay. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That is, there were billions. Say with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, had I say ye, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. So now, the book is in the hand of who? That book is a book of redemption. That book contains so many things inside there. And it is the secret. What is that book? That book that Christ held in the hand was a secret contained there, that will make us understand why Jesus Christ spoke in Matthew 16, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. The gates of hell is in that book. Praise the Lord. The gates of hell shall not prevail. And remember that when the enemy rises like a flood, what happens? The Bible says what? The Spirit of God will raise a standard. In that book is the storm that the enemy was going to bring. And also in that book was the standard that God was going to raise to counter it. And we needed that. in that book was the secret of how the Antichrist will be manifested. And remember that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, can we read it? Verse 3. Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the coming of the Lord shall not come, except there come a fall away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That verse there tells us that before Christ will come, Apostle Paul was saying in the first church age, two things will happen before Christ will come, according to Apostle Paul. And those two things have been fulfilled. Number one, there will come a fall away. Fall away from what? Fall away from the apostolic faith. Fall away from the Bible faith, Christianity that was delivered unto us by the saints. That's what exactly the condition that we are in now. No matter how blind you are, if you can read this Bible and take your eyes away and look at what is Christianity today, you will know that there is a deviation. People are falling away until what the church has been reduced into, without breaking it down, so that I go to where I am going tonight. The second one is that the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will be revealed. Now, the revelation there, it means nobody knew about him before. And how he was operating, nobody will know. But before Christ will come, he will be revealed. And let me tell you that now the Antichrist, the son of perdition, he has been revealed. How was he revealed? The revelation was in that sealed book. He was there. That it was revealed. It's in there. Nobody knew it before. It was there. And today, the bride of Jesus Christ, through the opening of that book, hallelujah, we know who the Antichrist is. If you are in this church and you don't know, it means you just came here last month. Because we have preached a sermon, I titled, Behold the Antichrist. And I also preach another message where I titled, Our Redemption is Nearer. And I preach another one I titled, The Divine Agenda. And we try to bring it out. Remember Revelation chapter 13, say here is wisdom. Hallelujah. And it mentioned that this is how to identify him. And he spoke on how you would identify him. And we broke it down to get to know where 666 is pointing to. We broke down the calculation and we know where the thing fell. The man of sin, the Antichrist, is sitting in Rome. He's holding Bible. He has large followership. And everything about 666 landed there. Here is wisdom. Now that these two things are fulfilled, what else? That is why I finished that message, God willing, on Sunday. What next for the bride? What next? What next are we expecting? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now watch it. This is what John saw. Chapter 6 verse 1. Let me use that as an example. John. Now the seal was opening. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Remember how many seals are there? 7 seals. And I had, you know, we are talking Revelation, so you are very, very careful when we are reading it. And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts, these four beasts there in Revelation chapter 4, Those 24 elders in Revelation chapter 4, seated before the throne. Okay? We have spoken about that before. And behold, one of the four beasts saying what? Come and see. Told John, come and see. As the first seal was opened. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Which horse did he see? Are we together? I want to be sure you are following me. A white horse. And he that sat on him, on that white horse, had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth, conquering and to conquer. That is what Apostle John the Revelator, that is all he saw. What did he see? He saw a white horse. And he saw somebody sitting on that horse with a bow. Praise the Lord. And a crown was given unto him. And he was going and conquering. That is all John saw. I'm emphasizing something. That is all John saw. But the meaning of that horse, John did not know. The meaning of that man that sat on that horse, the meaning of that bow, the meaning of that crown, and the meaning of that conquering, John did not understand. All he saw is what he saw. Everything was given in symbol. The next seal was opened again. He saw another horse. And saw another person sitting on it. This time, that horse changed from white to red. The next seal was opened again. What did he see? Another horse. He saw another man sitting on it. And this time, the horse changed to black. Until the fourth seal again, sitting on it again, the horse color changed. And all John was writing whatever he was seeing. But the meaning of it, he didn't know it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But in the days of the voice, Revelation chapter 10 verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Hallelujah. And that was there all these years. But according to God's divine agenda. Hallelujah. When the gospel will come to the Gentiles, broken into seven church ages, seven, the last church age. That is the age that will see the rapture. For that is the age that see Israel standing as a nation. And he said, this generation shall not pass until all that he spoke come to pass. Praise the Lord. That is the generation. And this is that generation. Praise the Lord. On the 28th of February, 1963. Hallelujah. Those angels. William Branham was in a hunting field somewhere. He had seen a similar thing in a vision. Was wondering what was happening until that day it happened physically. There was an earthquake. The whole place shook. While he was thinking, they die. What is happening? Suddenly, he saw a constellation of angels that flew down. They came down before him, landed before him, and they told him he should go back. It is time for the revelation of the seals. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that revelation is what he came. Each night, one of those angels was coming to him to tell him the meaning of each seal, what each symbol symbolized. That gave birth to this book. The revelation of the seven seals. The revelation of the seven seals. Get a copy. If it is finished, book, we shall arrange one for you. If you read this, amen, and your head not correct, then you are a serpent seed.